Okay, Shalom Aleichem Rabosai. Today's daf is Erevin daf Nun Gimel. We have the tremendous chus of starting the fifth parak in Maseches Erevin. Again, we are going weiter in the topic of Erev Tchumim. We had mentioned earlier that if a person, for example, lives in a city and he wants to figure out his Tchum Shabbos, so you don't count from your house, you person would start counting from 2,000 amos from the edge of the city, from the city limits. So our Mishnah is going to define how do you measure or judge city limits, and then we're going to spend today's daf and tomorrow's daf, if I'm not mistaken, on some agadata that the Gemara departs from that topic for a couple of blot, and then we'll get back into it over Sukkos. But first, let's start the parak, and then we'll see where the agadata takes us. So Ketzad, this is not Ma'arvin, right? Just be careful. This is Ma'abrin. How do you, and we're going to have a discussion in the Gemara exactly how you define that word ma'abrin and how you spell it even, but really how do you determine the city limits? How do you determine the outside, the end point of a city? So if you have bayis nichnas, bayis yotze, if you have a city that goes out or a city that goes in, pogum nichnas or pogum yotze, pogum here is, or maybe it's pigum or pogum, pogum is a defect. That's not what it's talking about here. A pogum here is a tower. Pogum nichnas, pogum yotze, hayusham grodios gvohos, where you have some sort of some ruins that are gvohos, that are tvachim, that are 10 tvachim high. Meaning, basically all these examples are just saying that the city does not have a finite end to it, right? Not all cities, or most cities, I would imagine, almost every city, is not just come to an end at a wall. You have houses that are uneven, you have towers that are sticking out, you have a ruin, even we'll see in what scenario you could have a ruin that would extend the tchum of the city. Gesharim, you have bridges, you have nefasha sheis behem bayis dira, you have a crypt that has a place for someone to live, a person to either stand guard or to kind of take care of the graveyard or whatever. Motzien es hamida kenegdan, right, you extend the measurements to these outer areas. Vosin oso kimin tavla merubas, and you make a square around the city. Kedesh yehei niskar es hazavios, so that a person again will be so he will acquire literally. I mean, he would benefit from the corners. The person doesn't necessarily have only 2,000 amos. If the city, for example, is a square, so a person has 2,000 amos north, east, south, and west, but if you go from the corner of the city, since we measure the tchum by a square, so you would actually get, I don't know, whatever the measurement is, it would be more than 2,000 amos, just based on basic math, which I, of course, am too lazy or not interested in doing. But either way, meaning you get 2,000 amos plus whatever the extra is to the diagonal. So the Gemara says, and again, we're going to just jump off the Lashon, the first line, the first couple of words in the Mishnah, said, Kate said Ma'abrin, that's the name of the parak, and the Gemara wants to know, Rabbi Shmuel, Chad Tani Ma'abrin, V'chad Tani Ma'abrin, how do you spell that? Is that with an ayin, or is that with an aleph? Well, what's the difference? So, Ma'an Tani Ma'abrin, if you teach it with an aleph, so then the Lashon is aver, meaning just like a person's limbs stick out of his body, so too these items, these places stick out of the city, and you can extend the city limits with these things. And the person who says it's with an ayin, that's keisha ubra, like a woman who's pregnant, right? Her stomach sticks out, so too the city kind of bulges a little bit. Now that we mentioned that language, so the Gemara is going to talk about a bunch of different scenarios about machloksim in language. Marasa machpelo, what does that mean, right? Famous landmark. So Rav Shmuel, I guess landmark is probably the most profane thing I can call it, right? But the holy site, one of the burial places of our Avos and Imos. Rav Shmuel chad amar shtei batim zelefnim v'zeh. What is the language of Machpelah? What do you mean? It literally means kefel is a double. So is it a double house? What is that? So one opinion is it's one house and then another house, meaning if you would enter through a door, you'd walk straight and then you'd get to another house behind the house you entered. Or one of them says one on top of the other, a house on top of two-story house. So Bishlam the Mandamar Zel Gavzel, according to the Mandamar, says it's one house and then another house behind it, Taina Machpela, that's why it's doubled. Right, you have two houses back to back. El Mandamar Shnei Batim Zelef Nimizeh, Sorry, other way around. According to the person who says that it's one on top of the other, that's why it's doubled. But according to the Mandamo, who says it's one house behind another, so my Machpelah, what do you mean it's doubled? Right, that's just two houses lined up next to each other. So the Gemara says, Shekfula bezugos. Right, it is doubled with pairs, meaning it has many, many pairs. Right, Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. So the Gemara says, Mamre Kiryat Arba. That's again, according to the Pasuk, right, there it says, well, that's not by, I guess, Maros Machpelah is in Kiryas Arba, but it's in Hebron, but that Pasuk is actually when Yaakov comes back to Yitzchak. So the Pasuk says, Mamre Kiryat Arba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kiryas Ha'arba. It's the burial place of four, Zugos, four meaning four pairs, Adam Chava, Avram Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, and Yaakov. And Leah. Okay, that's what that means. Vahibimiam Raphael, Melech Shinar, right? That's the beginning of the four kings versus the five kings. And say in Parshas Velechlecha. So Rav Shmuel, Machlokes, Chadam, or Nimrod Shmo, meaning there's Machlokes, and who was Amraphel? So, well, I take it back. There's no Machlokes who Amraphel was. The question is what his name was. But it was definitely, this was Nimrod. But they called him Amraphel. So Rav and Shmuel have Machlokes. Chadam, or one of them says, Nimrod Shmo, that was his name. Nimrod was his name. Velamanikr Shmo Amraphel, so why was he called Amraphel? Shamar Vehipil. Because he was the one who had the idea to chuck Avram into the Kivshan Ha'esh. One of them says, no, Amraphel was his name. Nimrod, why was he called Nimrod? Shehimrid is called Unkulo. Alav B'malchusa, right? He ruled over the entire world. And he also wanted to get people to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Limrod, to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu while he was king. Right? That was Dor HaFlaga, right? They tried to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu by building right the Tower of Babel. Okay, fine. One more over here. Vayakom Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim. A machloges, pretty well known machloges when there was a new king at the beginning of the slavery. So the Gemara, the public says there was a new king, and Rav Shmuel Amar Chadash Mamish V'Chad Amar Nischad Sho. Right, one of them says it was actually a new king, and one of them says no, he just had new decrees. According to the guy who says it was actually new, okay, Pasuk says it was a new king. And according to the Mandamar, says no, it wasn't a new king, but his decrees were new. It doesn't say that he died and there was another king. Right, so that's where he gets it from. According to the one who says that Paro made new gzeiros, aksiv asher lo yada es Yosef, how could he possibly, if it was the same guy, how could he not know Yosef? Maya asher lo yada es Yosef, to have a demi command lo yada le Yosef klal. He made himself as if he didn't know about Yosef. That was his decision, his personal decision, to kind of ignore all of Yosef's accomplishments. Okay. Now we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, again, a bunch of more. I got it to not on this exact topic, but like a takeoff. You'll see in a second. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Yudches Yomim Gidalti Eitzel Rabbi Oshia Ribi. I was raised. Literally means Gidalti. I was raised, but it really means he learned 18 days by Rabbi Oshia Ribi. Full of Matim Menu Eler Tova Echad B'Mishnah Seino, and I only learned one thing from our Mishnah from him. So the Gemara is going to assume originally that this means he only learned one thing. Period. We'll see what exactly how you understand this line, but that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. I only learned one thing from our Mishnah, from Rabbi Oshia Baribi. Ketzad ma'abrin es ha'arim be'alef. And he learned, what did he learn? That ma'abrin is with an aleph, right? That reflects the language of aver, of limbs sticking out of a body. Eini, is that really true about Rabbi Yochanan? Right, it's really true, that's all he learned? Rabbi Yochanan said, Yud beis talmidim hayulo the Rabbi Oshia Baribi, that he had 12 talmidim. Tell me them, b'yuches yamin gidalti b'nehem, and I was there for 18 days. V'lamati leiv kol echad ve'echad, and I learned about each person's heart. V'chachmas kol echad ve'echad, and each person's brain, meaning I knew them very well, with the chevre. Leiv kol echad ve'echad, v'chachmas kol echad ve'echad. So the Gemara answers, so you see that he did learn a lot of things. So Gemara answers, no. Leiv kol echad ve'chachmas kol echad ve'echad, gamar. Right, so he did learn about his chevre, but gemara lo gamar. But he didn't learn any more halachos from Rav Oshia Baribi. Iboisem, another way to answer. Minayhu did hu gamar. Right, he learned from his chevre. Right, he learned a lot from the chevre, but minay, but from Rav Oshia Baribi himself, didei lo gamar. He didn't actually learn anything else except for this whole ma'avrin with an aleph thing. Iboisem, another way to understand, and this is how I thought Pashup shot was, but the Gemara waited till the third answer to give it. Davar echad b'mishna senu kamar. What did he say? Only we learned one thing in our Mishnah. Yeah, it was there for 18 days, and they covered a ton of topics, and the only thing they mentioned in our Mishnah was this, the fact that it's ma'abrin with an aleph. Right? But obviously, he was learning for the other 18 days. He was learning a ton of Torah. Right? That's how I understood it originally when I read it straight away. Okay, fine. That's the third possibility in the Gemara. From Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, in addition, when we were learning Torah with Rabbi Yoshia, we would sit four people inside a single Amma. Meaning they would push up close to the Rebbe to see, to get close. That's what the situation was. That's what the situation called for. Right? They were kind of bunched together. Rabbi says, "Kishainu lomdim Torah etzal Rabbi Elazar b'Shamua, ainu yoshim shisha shisha ba'ama." Right? We would sit six people within an ama. Meaning they would push together. Right? If you look at Rashi, shisha ba'ama, ainu miskarvin l'shmua mipi v'dochin zedzed. Right? They would get close. There again, you've seen. I'm sure if you ever look at videos of people going to greet the gedolei ador, the gedolim. Right? If you ever see a video, for example, of Gedolim getting driven down to the Kotel, so they get mobbed by the masses of people who want to get a glimpse, who want to say something, who want to ask for a bracha. And you get up close to the Rebbe, you want to get a bracha. You're learning with Torah with the Gedolim door, so you push forward, you want to hear exactly what he says. So some two over here, they were all packed together tightly around the Rebbe's, shtender or whatever it was. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Osha Baribi, Bedoro, Rabbi Meir, Bedoro. Rabbi Osha Baribi was like Rabbi Meir in his generation, meaning in Rabbi Yoshia's generation, he was as great as Rabbi Meir was in his generation. Just like Rabbi Meir's chaverim could never understand his logic because he was so far and above them. So after Rabbi Yoshia, lo yachol chaverav lamod otzav daito. Same thing for Rabbi Yoshia. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, liban shal rishonim kipatchu kepischo shal ulam. And then we say Rabbi Yochanan here talks about the concept of yiridas adoros. That the liban, the hearts of the brains or the hearts, the understanding, the ability to understand of the rishonim is like the opening to an ulam, to a hall. V'shalachronim kepeshcho shalheichal, and the later ones were like the entrance to the heichal. The heichal was much smaller. The ulam is, this is referring to the Beis Hamikdash. The ulam was much bigger. The ulam was 20 amos wide, and the what's it called? The heichal was 10 amos. Yeah, there's Rashi over there. But if you look at Rashi, pasach ulam rachvo chaf v'shal heichal yud. That the ulam's entrance was 20 amos wide, and the heichal was yud amos wide. We had those measurements in the Sefer Shabbos, but Rashi quotes it over here. Either way, but we see that the meaning it's saying that these yiridas hadoros, that the original chachamim had much greater capacity for chachma and logic, etc. V'anu kamali nekev mechat sidakis. And we, right, talk about the Rishonim and the Achronim, and then what about us? So we are like the hole of a needle, right, the eye of a needle. That's how we compare to the elder, the Gedoros, back in the day. Rishonim, Rabbi Akiva, what's referring to? So the Rishonim referring to Rabbi Akiva. The Achronim is referring to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. That's who he was speaking about specifically. Igidamri, or people say Rishonim Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Achronim Rabbi Osha Baribi. Okay, Vanu Kamalei Nekev Machat Sidkis. What is it referring to us when we are like the eyes, like the eye of a needle? Am Rabbi Vanan Kisikta Beguda LeGemara. It's like trying to stuff a peg in a wall. Meaning, in terms of our understanding, in terms of our Gemara, in terms of our ability to understand, so it's like we're the phrase of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. That's it. So Amar Rava, Rava says, the Anan for us. Another way to explain it is ki etzbata bikira l'svara. It's like trying to poke your finger into wax, meaning not melted wax, but hard wax. That's how for svara, for logic, for understanding, to figure out logically. That's how tough it is for us. Am Ravashi Anan for us kids bata v'bira l'shichcha. And in terms of shichcha, in terms of forgetting, right? It's like you stick a finger in a bira, not a beer, but in a bore, in a pit. Meaning, obviously, that's very easy to stick a finger into a pit, right? It's empty, it just goes in, there's nothing impeding it. That's how hard it is for us, right? We, unfortunately, and Kavach Homer nowadays, that's how it was for them, so we certainly forget a ton. I know many, many instances of where I sit in a shir for an hour, take tremendous notes, and 5 minutes later I cannot remember a single thing that was said in the shir. So yes, we definitely do have to be on our horse about chazering and reviewing the Gemara and the stuff that we learn. So Amar of Yehuda Marav, Bnei Yehuda sheikpidu al lashonam niskayma torasam biyadam. Now again, just talking about this importance of language, right? Who cares whether it's with an aleph, with an ayin? The idea is the same. So this we're gonna say here that how important it is to be makabed at the Hebrew language, and a language which you learn something in. So the people in Yehuda that were makabed about their language, so they were niskayma. The Torah was, they kept the Torah in their hands, meaning they required it, they understood it, they remembered it. Bnei Galil sheloikpidu al lashonam lo niskayma torasam biyadam, and the opposite happened to the people in the north. They, Rahman al-Islam, forgot their Torah. Midi bekveda talya milsa. So Gemara says, one second, is that that's how you remember the Torah? Right? Bekveda, right? That's talya milsa, right? If you're makbid about spelling, right? If you're a grammar Nazi, that's going to help you remember Torah. So Gemara says, Ella, no. Bnei Yehuda didaiki lishna. The people in Yehuda who were very careful in their language, umitznachi luhusimona, and they make signs, they make symbols, right? We had already at the beginning, I skipped it was in the parentheses, but you have the simon, right? If you look it up at the parentheses on the second white line, simon shmonesre vishnemasar lamanu bedavid vaiven, right? Again, it's just a way of remembering the hemshev of the Gemara. People do this. They can rip off a blot in a minute and a half because they just have these paragraph headers, right, that in their brain. So that's the people in Yehuda. That's what they would do. So therefore, niskayma torasam biyadam. But bnei galul d'lo daiki lishna v'lo misnachi luhu simona lo niskayma torasam biyadam. So they do, right. They didn't do that in the Galil, and therefore they forgot their Torah. Bnei Yehuda gamru micharaba. Another reason why maybe the people in Yehuda remembered more Torah. They learned from one teacher, meaning they got their facts straight. They didn't dance around from teacher to teacher. Right, certainly it's my daughter just had the same teacher back-to-back years in elementary school, 5th to 6th grade, and it was tremendous for her, because there was no getting used to it, no getting used to the teacher's style, there was no, incubation period, I guess. And she had tremendous hatzlacha in 6th grade, because she had the same exact teacher, they didn't have to, they all knew each other's tendencies, and who acts out in class and everything. So everything was great. So the people in Yehuda, they had one teacher. In the Galil they did not, so therefore they had a harder time remembering their Torah. Ravina Amar Bnei Yehuda the Galil Masechta. The people in Yehuda they understood the Masechta. They were learning the Gemara, so they're in Niskayma Torasim Biyadam. Rashi over here says that meaning that they were teachers, right? That the people in Yehuda also taught their Torah, therefore they remember their Torah. Certainly, personally, when I have to give a shir versus when I have to just learn a piece of Gemara by myself, it's night and day in terms of remembering the Gemara and understanding the Gemara. You have to know it much better when you teach it. So the Bnei Yehuda who taught it, so they understood the Torah, they remembered their Torah. Bnei Galil de lo galu masechta lo niskayim with rasim biyadam, and the people in the Galil had more trouble with that. David Gali Masechta. David HaMelech, right, would teach Torah. Shaul lo Gali Masechta, and Shaul would not. David the Gali Masechta, the Ksiv Bey, according to David, who would teach the Torah to the Masechtos, the Pasuk says, Yerecha, Yeruni Vismachu, you'll see me and you'll be happy. With David's teachings. Shaul lo Gali Masechta, Ksiv Bey, but Shaul it says, Uvchol Asher Yifneh, Yarshia. Every place he would go, he would do Yarshia. Literally means a Rasha. It wasn't going to be a Rasha, but he would be incorrect. He would be mistaken, right? So because he didn't teach, he didn't know the Torah as well as David HaMelech. And this is already the next line here is Yana Dioma, a little bit. If you're feeling down about perhaps the tshuva process, Yom Deraim didn't go as well as you might have hoped, or whatever. I mean, we never really know until the next year, but if you're trying to get more chizek in terms of your tshuva, which still goes on through Hashanah Rabbah, from Rabbi Yochanan says, Minayin shemachalo Kosh Baruch Hu al oso avon. How do you know that the Kosh Baruch Hu forgave Shaul for that sin? What sin is that? Avon de Nov Ir Kohanim. Rashi says, the city of Nov Ir Kohanim. What did Shaul do in the city of Nov Ir Kohanim? So if you know the story, he killed them. He killed all of them. He thought they were supporting David in his rebellion. But that was a chait. But we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him. Mishnah Amar, Pasuk says, right, Machar Atahu Vanachi Imi, Imi B'mechitzasi. Right, that Pasuk, I guess, probably needs a little bit more explaining. Shaul HaMelech for a war with the Plishtim, so he had to raise Shmuel's spirit, because he couldn't ask the Urim HaTumim, because he had killed all the Kohanim, and even the Kohanim that were left, or the Urim HaTumim wouldn't work for Shaul, so he had to go raise Shmuel's spirit and ask him whether he should go to war. So Shmuel said, yes, but you're going to end up being with me tomorrow, meaning Shaul's with me in heaven. But the Gemara learns out, imi b'mechitzasi, right? You're going to be with me in my mechitza, right? Rachman al-Tzlan. Now you have the images of capsulot in the yeshivas, so that they call it here. That basically, you see there's all this stuff sectioned off in the base measures. So that was Shmuel saying, you're going to be me with me in my capsula, right? With me in my section. Meaning that Kosh Baruch was going to bring him to Gan Eden, and Kosh Baruch had forgiven Shaul for that avera. So the Musa for us, right, just in terms of the end of the Yoma, if you think your averas were bad, you didn't kill an entire city of Kohanim. And we see that Kosh Baruch was forgave Shaul for that chait as well. So certainly Kosh Baruch loves us, and Mitzvah Shem is waiting for our tshuva. Right. And even if we had trouble during the Yom Narayim, so we can still do it. Okay. Vayter in the Hilge Shas, we have a long daf. Amar Rabbi Abba. Iiga de Mashalu Levene Yehuda Daiki Lishne Ma'abrintznan o Ma'abrintznan. Right? If you would go to these people, right? We said about the Bnei Yehuda that they are very careful in terms of the language, so go to them and ask them if it's with an Aleph or with an Ayin. Or Akuzutznan. Oh, Akuzutznan. Another case. Whereas a Mishnah is elsewhere, we're not sure where there's an Aleph or an Ayin, so Yodi, so they will know. Shalinhu, and they asked them, and sure enough, Amrila, they said, Iga demasni ma'abrav, Iga mas ma'abrin, Ika masni akuzu, Ika masni akuzu. In other words, they didn't really know. They just knew that people teach it with both. Or maybe, I guess that's called knowing, but they were not machriya. They did not choose one or the other. They said, no, we have mesoras with both an Aleph or an Ayin. Okay, Bnei Huda Daiki Lishne, Maihi, what do you mean that they were Medaik in their language? So, Dahu Bar Yehuda Da Amar Luhu, Talis Yishli Limkor. Because there's a guy in Yehuda who said, I need to sell a Talis. So, Amar Luhu, they said to him, My Govin Talischa, what color is it? So, Amar Luhu, instead of like saying brown, he said, Ketradin Ale Adama. It's like beets on the ground. That's a pretty good shade of brown. Okay, fine. So Bnei Galil hold like Yilishna Maihi. So what's an example of people not being careful about language? Dahu Bar Galila to have a kazel of Amarlu. There was a guy who was walking around. And he said Amar Laman, Amar Laman. Who is it? Who has an Amar? Who has an Amar? But obviously Amar means to say, right? He wasn't really saying the word Amar, but he was just like he wasn't being clear. So who has this? He's trying to buy something, but he kept on saying, "I want to buy an Amar." Right, you ever not speak a language and try and buy something in a marketplace? It's a disaster. Right, the pronunciation, disaster. So the guy, he couldn't pronounce it right. So Amalei, they said to him, Galila Shaita, you stupid Galilean. So Chomer Lemirkov, O Chomer Lemishti, Amar Lemilbash, O Imar Leitkasa. Right there, is it with a chet? Are you talking with an ayin? If you're talking with an aleph, right? If you ever heard a Moroccan person say a chet, so you can understand why a chet sounds more like an aleph or an ayin. Right? It's more like guttural, it's like chet. And ayin also is like ayin. And an aleph, okay, also they're much more similar than, let's say, an Ashkenazi from New York. Like I would say, chet is obviously sounds nothing like an aleph or an ayin. But basically, it could have been either a chomer lemirkav, a donkey for riding, chomer lemishna, chomer is wine to drink, or chomer in Aramaic is wine. Amar lemilbash, do you mean wool to wear? Oh, amar litkasa, or you want an amar, which is a sheep, to shecht. Right, so they had no idea what he wanted, right? Because he wasn't daik, he wasn't careful in his pronunciation. Who it's to the boy lemaimar lechaverta? There's a woman who said to her friend, "Toy," or at least she wanted to say to her friend, "Toy the ochlich chelba." Right, I want to get some chelev, some fat, to give you to eat. So Amalei, but she said she wasn't careful with her language, and she said shlochti tochlich levaya, and she said may a lion eat you. Okay, Fine, be careful. It's the Asya the Kameh the Daina, and there's a woman who came to be judged. So Amalei, she wanted to say to them, Mari Kiri, my master, or my slave. Sorry, so that's what she said, meaning she wanted to say Mari, meaning she wanted to say my master, meaning addressing the judges. She wanted to say my master, and then she said Kiri, she said my slave. Tafla Havisle, she wanted to say, I have a beam. The Ganvuchmin, and someone stole it from me. And the Kadu Havas, and now, I'm not sure, I got this from the article, I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Now it was, the Kad Shadru Lecha Iluya, and when they hang you on it, Lomati Karyach Ara, your feet are not going to reach the ground. Basically, she wanted to say that someone stole a beam for her, and then she said that, she instead said that her, I guess the defendant or the judge, I'm not sure which one, was going to be hanged by the wooden beam that was missing. Okay, be careful what you say. Imhasa de Berebi, Gihava, Mishtaya, Beloshan Chachma. There was a servant, a maidservant, in Rebbe's house, and when she would speak in a Loshan Chachma, she would speak in a language of intelligence, meaning she was trying to, she didn't want to say something straight out, she would use a remez, a hint, some sort of, code speak, to make sure to get her point across, so people wouldn't say Shamar Hachi. She would say Alas Nakfas Bekad Yodun Nishra Lekainhon. When the ladle hits the barrel, the eagles should go to the nests. Meaning that, and what they were saying is that when the ladle would hit the bottom of the wine barrel, all the bachrim in Rebbe's house should go home. Okay. V'chad Hava Boy Lidilisvon. If she wanted them to stay at the to have more food, so Amr Lahu, she would say to Hava Amr Lahu, she would say to them, Yade Basar Chavrta Mina, a piece of a friend, meaning that's piece of a friend should be taken away, referring to the stopper, meaning to open up another bottle of wine. It is Kafi Alas Bekad Keilfa De Azla Biyama, and the ladle will float like a ship in the sea. And again, saying that let's get some more wine where you have the ladle will be floating on the top. Rabbi Yossi bar Asin Kehava Mishtai Belishon Chochma Amar, again an example of like speaking in code speak, just so people don't know exactly what you're saying. Also, Lishobe Mishpat Batur Miskan, get for me an ox in Beis Din, in judging, on a Batur Miskin, on a mountain that is poor. He wanted, that was code for, he wanted beets and mustard. Okay, and when he wanted to ask about an inn to stay there, he would say, "Gvar pum den chai, is this person's mouth alive? Ma'azu tova yesh, is there any good in here? Meaning, how is the guy doing? Meaning, is he decent to stay by him? Is he okay? All right, fine." Rabbi Avoh, have Kevin Mishtai Belashon Chachma. When Rabbi Avoh was doing this, have Amar Hachi, he would say like this: "It's Rigu the Pechamim, make the coals like an esrog. Pecham is coals. It's Rigu, right? Make it like an esrog, meaning make them so hot that they look like an esrog. An esrog is yellow, so obviously it's, the coals will be very hot. Arkiu Lezahavin, spread out the gold, meaning." The coals. Also, Lishnei Megidei Ba'alata, make me, that's referring to make me two chickens so that we can eat two things that you can see in the dark. Iga Da'amri, or people say, Vyasuli Ba'en Shnei Megidei Ba'alata, make the coals two things that I can see in the dark, meaning use the fire, use the coals to cook two chickens. Amrulei Rabbanan Rabbi Avo. Hits pinenu hechan Rabbi Eloi tzafon. Show me where Rabbi Eloi is. Amar lahen, he said, olat benara. He is meaning the Rabbanan said, Rabbi Avoh, where's Rabbi Eloi? So Rabbi Avoh said, olat benara. He is rejoicing with a woman. Aharonis, Aaronis, vihin iratu. Either from from Aharonis, meaning a Kohen, a Kohenes, Aharonis, the last one, Eronis, someone who was awake, and she kept him awake. And what were they talking about? So there could be that either Amr Laisha, either he was referring to that he was with his wife, or Vimri La Mesechta, or he was up all learning all night, and I came across all of these topics. So, meaning he was sleeping, that's where he was. They said he was up all night, right, for whatever reason. Amr le Rabbi Eloi, they said to Rabbi Eloi, it's pinenu heichan Rabbi Avoh, Tzafon. Right there. So, again, when they said to Rabbi Eloi, I guess when Rabbi Avoy came back, they said, "Where's Rabbi Avoy?" Right? I guess this is the reverse. So Amar Lahan, Nisyaitz b'machtir v'hingiv l'mepiboshas. He took Eitzah, he took advice from the machtir, the people with the crowns, and he went to the Negev to mepiboshas, to the people to the Talmid Chachamim who are down in the south. Again, mepiboshas was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. So that's what he said. He went to go learn in the Negev with the Talmid Chachamim over there. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. Miyamai lo nitzchani adam chutz mi isha tinok v'tinokas. Right, nobody ever one-upped me in a debate or in some sort of encounter, except for a woman, a baby, and a baby, meaning a boy and a little boy and a little girl. So isha mahi, what was the case with the woman? So pamachas nisarachti etzel achsanya achas. Once I was staying at an inn, right, as some sort of host, and asali pulin, and she made me beans. Right, brought him a dinner. It was made of beans. The first day, I ate them all. I didn't leave anything over. Shnia, same thing. Second day, right, she saw that I liked them, so I made it for a second day as well. And the third day, hikdichosan b'melach. On the third day, she put too much salt in there, and came and mashachti yadai mehem. And as soon as I ate them, meaning I don't know if he spit him out, but it literally means he pulled his hands away. But he wasn't so interested in the beans with all the salt. So I'm really, she said to him, Rebbe, v'pnima in chasoid, right? It shows how much it's important to, there's always these famous Shalom Bayis stories about how the, let's say, a gadol used to eat X, Y, and Z food. His wife, I don't know, burned the chicken once, and he was so nice to her, he didn't want to make her feel bad about the cooking. So we just eat burnt chicken for 60 years of marriage, and then finally, I forget which rav it was, but my wife passed away. So finally, he said, make the chicken not burnt. And they were like, "What do you mean you ate it for 50 years?" He said, "Yeah, well, I don't want to make her feel bad." So here you see that apparently Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was not concerned. Well, it wasn't his wife; it was just maybe an innkeeper. Okay, whatever. Either way, he didn't eat the beans. Right, he couldn't eat them. So really, she said to him, "Rabbi, mepnei ma in chasoid, right? Why aren't you eating?" So Amarti los, right? He didn't want to offend her, so he said that kfar sati mi bod yom, already ate already. So really, she said, "Well, ha'ilcha limshoch yadecha me'apas. Well, then you should have not eaten all the bread." So really, she said, "Rabbi, shema lo hinachta peya barishonim. Right? Maybe you didn't leave over anything from your first meal, because the din is that person should leave over a little bit, and shouldn't be such a glutton." V'lo kacha amru chacham din chazal say ein misharim peya beilfis alam misharim peya beakara. Right, we don't leave over a piece of food. Literally, pay is a corner, but we don't leave over a piece of food in the serving plate. Meaning, you should make sure to give everybody as much as you can. Meaning, you don't have to leave over anything in the pot. Meaning, you should give out all the portions for all the people who are there. But a person, the proper etiquette was not to eat all of the food, but to leave over a little bit. So apparently, that woman got the best of him. Right? She called him on it. she called him on it and figured out what was going on. Tinokes Maihi, what's the story where a girl went up to Rishua? So, Pamachas Aisi Mahalach Baderech, he was traveling, Vaisa Derech Overes Basada, there's a path that went through a field, Vaisi Mahalach Ba, and so I took it. Amrali Tinokas Achas, a girl popped in and said, "Rabbi, lo Soda Hiza, right? This is a Soda, this is a person's field." So, Amarti La, well, lo, Derech Kvuzahi, what is it? I see that a lot of people have walked here, right? So the path was, I guess, well worn. So he said, "No, what do you mean? There's a path here." So I'm really, "Oh yeah, listim kamoscha kafshua." Right, it's thieves like you have conquered it. Literally, it means that, people walk here, but that's still private property. That doesn't mean that it was mutter. Okay, what about the third case? And then we'll stop here. Tinok mahi, right? We get to the two dots. What about the story of a tinok? So the Pamachas Haisi Mahalach Baderek, once Rabbi Yeshua was walking and traveling, Vayisi Tinok Yoshev Al Parshas Drachim, I saw a kid sitting by the fork in the road. V'Amartilo said, "Be'ezaderech Neilach La'ir, which way should I go to the city?" So Amarli, "Zu Kitzara V'Aruka, V'Zu Aruka V'Kitzara." This road over here is short and long, and this road is long and short. Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua V'Alachti V'Kitzara V'Aruka. He said he went to the short and long one. I guess, you know, whatever. That came and he got to the ear, and once that, when he got to the end of that road, he got to the city, Matzati Shemakifanosa Ganos Ufardesin. He saw that the end of the road was surrounded with Ganos, with a garden, and Pardesim, and orchards, meaning he couldn't get through. Right? So Chazarti Lachore had to go back. And Amartilo, and he said back to the kid, Bini lo Amartili Ktsara, right? Didn't you tell me it was short? So Amarli, he said back to him, Lo Amartili Lacharuka, I told you it was long. Right? Meaning, what the boy was telling Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua, as you'll see in a second, wasn't upset at him, he said he should have figured it out, is that, yeah, this road is short, but it's a long way, because you can't actually get to the city. You have to go down the road and come back and take the other one. This road is long, it's a longer journey, but it's shorter in the end, because you'll only have to go down one derech. Not sure why he didn't just tell him, go this way. This way doesn't get there, but okay, right, fine. And apparently Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was not upset, because Neshaktiv Al Rosho, I kissed him on his head, Vamartilo, and I said, Ashrechem Yisrael, Shekulchem, Chacham, Gedolim, Atem, how do you read this? Migdolchem, Vyad Ketanchem, Migdolchem, Vyad Ketanchem, Ashrechem Yisrael, meaning how great it is that the Am Yisrael have people who are so smart, even the little kids are very wise. And again, he wasn't upset. He just realized that it was a smart way of telling him, listen, this might be a shorter road, but it's going to be a longer journey because you can end up having to go back. Okay, Shkoyah Kol Rabosa, we'll go back to the Halakha Shas tomorrow with some more Agadata. It's a bit of a long daf on an Erev Sukkos and Erev Yontif, so we'll see if we can do it and get it in. Either way, have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.